This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Canada-based Caravan Stage Company was created in 1970 by Paul Kirby and Adriana Kelder as a one-wagon puppet show traveling on Vancouver Island. Over the years, they grew into a 25-person company of actors, musicians, artists, and technicians, touring in six large wagons, each drawn by a team of perfectly matched Clydesdale horses. 20 years and 20,000 horse-drawn miles later, Caravan Stage Company took to the sea on a replica of a Thames River sailing barge. Their adventures have taken them all over the world, including along the rivers, lakes, and seacoasts of North America. KPTZ caught up with the troupe when they visited Point Hudson Marina for a series of shows. In this second installment of his coverage of their visit, KPTZ reporter Chris Bricker goes shipboard to meet the cast and crew of Caravan Stage Company's production, Nomadic Tempest. So now let's go inside the compass.
After years of touring on land, Paul Kirby, Adriana Kelder, and friends came up with the caravan version of a Thames River sailing barge, 30 meters in length with a 7.2-meter beam and a 1.2-meter draft. The entire deck, masts and rigging, the surrounding water and land all become a stage and a theater for any waterway and location. On this visit, I spoke to members of the cast and crew of Caravan Stage Company's production of Nomadic Tempest, and I learned about their talents, their passions, their dreams, and their life lessons aboard the tall ship Amara Z. What do you call this, the common area for the Amara Z?
The salon.
This is where you have your meetings, this is where you have your meals, this is where you rock back and forth, right?
Yes, it's where we party. So I'm Scott, I'm the audio technician here. I'm also the main composer for the show this year.
What's your background? How did you end up here?
Well, I've been in Vancouver, BC for the last 7 years, and I've done lots of sort of gigs, just doing audio recording in separate studios, lots of on-set recordings for films and stuff, as well as doing live sound for a few rock bands and stuff. Really combines together, and they do all those kind of things here. And this just popped up as another gig in town. It was just too exciting. I had to check it out. And they asked me to try to write some music, and then I wrote one song for them. And then they asked me to just keep writing. So I did.
Was that just for this season, or have you been here for longer?
It was just this season, so we started in April for this tour, yes.
Where did the ship berth in order to be able to do rehearsals and all the rigging and the rest of that?
We were all started in Nanaimo, BC. We were there for about a month, and then after that, our first shows were there, and then we branched off from there and just sort of went around Vancouver Island, and now we're here.
Teresa, tell me about yourself and how you ended up with this outfit.
I am an aerialist, and I work and live in London, UK. I was raised in Alberta, moved to England when I was about 25, and have been working as a performer since. I often train in British Columbia, so I heard about the caravan stage through people I train with in British Columbia. I've applied several years to come and join them on some of their tours. They were in New Orleans last year, and I really wanted to join them for that one, but they didn't offer it to me, and this year they asked for my show reel, which, because I was in England, I wasn't able to audition, and so I sent it to them again, and they asked me to join. It was a Skype interview, a Skype audition.
What is your specialty as an aerialist?
I do silks, Sirso, cordless, aerial net, and I've also done ground-based skills in the circus, and my main skill on the ground is hula hoop.
What's been your seagoing experience?
I own a canal boat in England. I don't live on it all the time, but it is a nice holiday place to spend some time on the water. Other than that, I haven't done much performing at sea, even though there's many performing roles at sea. But this is probably my first.
By your smile, I think you're liking it.
Yes, this is a very cool experience. I'm learning so much. I got to work with the tech team a lot, which is something that I never get to do as a performer. not to mention the sailing experience where we all get to do navigation, we get to do bow watch, we all take the helm, so we all get a chance to steer this barge through the sea, and yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Any sailing experience for you before you joined up?
A little bit. I definitely want to get my own boat at some point, a sailing boat. I looked after a friend's boat last year, and I have my sort of basic crew sailing level in Canada, which I took a few years ago. So I know a little bit, but just here for more experience. And I definitely love seeing how this works, seeing how all the ports work, seeing how all the navigation stuff works. It's great to be right hands-on instead of just looking at books.
How easy is it to sail?
I'm not sure. I don't think we've actually sailed it yet, although I know it's possible.
Is it mostly by motor?
It's all by motor, yes.
You can't sail with our rig up. We'd have to take the full rig down in order to put the sail up.
Well, I was looking at the rigging and I was wondering whether or not that whole frame actually lowers to the deck and that's where it's stored. Is that what happens so that you can manipulate a sail if you need to?
Exactly. When we motor along, we only take down the fore truss, which is about a 6x6 space, and then we can move, but we leave the main truss up to motor, but we'd have to take the full truss down in order to sail. You're right.
And what's your name?
I'm Krista. I'm here as an aerialist. Uh-huh. I play Siam. I'm the butterfly that turns into a ghost.
A lot of time in the air.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is this your first seagoing experience?
Yeah, this is my first one. And actually, I think when I signed up for this job, I sort of knew what I was getting into, but at the same time, I had no idea. I've been learning so much just about knots, and they let us drive this crazy thing, which is really, really amazing.
That's the adventure, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Are you loving it?
I am loving it. I mean, it's kind of like a family, you know? We're all going through growing pains, and we all interact with each other, and we have our ups and downs, but ultimately we know so much about each other, and it's only been 4.5 months. It's a wild ride.
Yeah. Who are you?
Sharon.
Sharon, are you part of the main galley here?
Yes, I am.
Are you the head chef?
I think we co.
You co-chef?
Yeah.
Is this your first shipboard experience?
It sure is, yeah.
That's amazing. So many newbies on the ship. It must be quite an education. Well, not only to take care of the duties that you have to do, because everybody pulls watch and all the rest of that, but also cooking at sea, a little bit different, eh?
Yeah, I mean, it gets a bit rocky, but luckily I don't get really seasick, so.
Well, that's good. Does anybody on board get seasick?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We have lots of ginger stored away for those people, and soda water and crackers.
What are you cooking tonight?
We're making a zucchini bake. We're also making cookies, but those are going to be tomorrow for after the show for the crew when they come off and they're really hungry. So that's one way that we set up the meals.
So what is dinner time usually?
It varies. It varies because the show has started in different times. So at the start of the tour, we started around 10 o'clock, the show itself, and now we're starting around 8:30. So dinner time has shifted from around 7 at the start to around 5:30 right now. It's like we're living outdoors.
Hi, my name is Mariah Sade Ralph. I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey, and I actually just arrived here because they held a normal audition in New York City. It was the first time I've ever been interviewed personally about who I was outside of the character and, of course, my skills as a performer, as an actor, singer. That's how I ended up here at the Caravan, and I play one of the Swallowort X.
Okay, we'll get into that. We need to explain what swallowarts are. You know, I mean, you guys have been performing this over and over and over again, and you make certain assumptions that people know what swallowarts are. But maybe our listening audience doesn't. So we'll get into that in a minute. But is it like a dream being here?
It's a very unique experience. For me, it's been way more than just a regular acting contract. I've been working professionally as an actor since 2012. This, I think, will stand out in my memory for years to come. It's just like this unique traveling spiritual experience where I got to live on a boat with 25 of the best people I've ever met in my life.
You know, it's one thing to be on a traveling show, and it's a whole other thing to be on the water, because there are certain responsibilities that go with that, right?
Yes, and I am Mariah, the least, I think, apt to the outdoors life and like the boating life. I'm definitely like a city girl through and through. And I remember when I interviewed over the phone with Paul and Nan, who run this, they just asked me all these questions. Are you afraid of heights? And I was like, yeah. Have you ever worked on a boat? And I'm like, well, not as a crew. And all these questions. And I was just like, yeah, I'm frightened. But they were like, well, are you willing to learn? And I'm like, yeah.
I guess that was the right answer, right?
And I ended up here, and it's just been a challenge because for me, we work a lot at height, and that's like a big fear of mine. And I've been just conquering all these fears and just doing all these things that I absolutely don't think I would have ever been exposed to if I hadn't been on this. It's a magical thing, and it just like, it keeps my heart full.
And how about you?
My name's Alicia Davidson. I'm from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I play Conundra in the show. I guess you could say I'm like the main singer. This is my second time actually doing this tour. I did this tour in 2015, a different show. We were in New York State. We rehearsed and opened the show in Brooklyn, and then we sailed mostly throughout the Hudson River and through Erie barge canals, and that was a different tour altogether. I went to theater school in Vancouver, but I actually had never been to the island. I hadn't really explored BC much. I had never been on this side of the US, Washington, or anything like that. So it's all just been amazing and beautiful, and some of the towns that we've been to have been fantastic, and yeah, it's been a great experience.
Yeah.
I came back wanting to just gain a little bit more perspective as far as me as a performer goes. Singing is a passion of mine, but singing is also a scary and challenging thing for me, and I find that the show had pushed me into a larger range that I had never really explored before. Indiana and Mariah are super strong, and I've learned so much from them musically, and I love them both.
Some hugging going on here.
My name is Indiana Ballon. I'm from France, and I'm an actor and singer, and I'm a swallowwort. Why? It's a very international crew, artists and technicians from all around the world. That's very rich, because everybody have a really different way of being, of seeing life, different languages, different culture, different energy, because every country have its own history, and it's beautiful to learn.
What brought you here, and how did that happen?
The most beautiful things that Facebook gave me, I think it was the caravan, because I just saw it on Facebook.
And then?
And then I just sent them a nice message and then say that I already lived before 3 years on another theater ship named the Ship of Fools. They are now in Suriname, but I travel with them and play there. It's like the same, like the caravan. So I already had this experience of living in community and traveling with boats. I just understood that I won't do it again in another ship with other rules, because ship have a lot of rules too. Yeah, I think for me, it's every time the strongest moment is when I'm steering, and there is like this kind of magic moment that happened 3 years ago where I totally changed my life, and that happened in this ship again. It's like you feel so connected with yourself, and you're in the middle of the sea, and you're steering a ship who is really made with love and by love, and you feel really that you are the ship, you know? It's like you and the ship and the sea and everything is just really one, and you feel so free. And when you got that, you're capable of everything, and you have no fear for anything.
My name is Omar de la Tejera. I'm from Mexico. I was born in Mexico City. I play didgeridoo, among other instruments, during the show. And, what brought me to the Amara Z was they were searching for a didgeridoo player. First, they connected David Jade, that is one of the didgeridoo players in Canada, in Vancouver. He couldn't make it. He has a big net, a big face group for learning community in didgeridoo. And he posted there the solicitude. One who was willing to come was another Mexican one, but he had some migrational issues, so he couldn't make it at the end, and I'm here now.
We're so lucky.
And you play The didgeridoo, you do the juice harp, you do...
The birimbau, this bow instrument, a musical bow that comes from Africa, and it was inserted in the Brazilian music. And also an harmonic drum, it's called happy drum, that is from the family of the steel drums.
And it looks to me like you have some experience in movement.
Yes, actually, I play birimbau because I do martial arts, a Brazilian martial art that is called capoeira. Capoeira de Angola is a traditional one. And during my life, I've been doing many things about movement on stage and other martial arts. So combine it with the things that I do and the didgeridoo, yes, it fits really well.
Clarification. I would like somebody to explain very succinctly the plot and the characters. I think this is important for our listening audience.
So I play a swallowwort, swallowwort X, and Indiana Vallone. She plays swallowwort Y. And basically the swallowworts represent big business, where big business's personal gains and their monetary gains outweigh the well-being of those who live on the planet. And we kind of represent that form of power. And if you see the show, if you're able to see the show, we're positioned way high up on two thrones on the trust, and we're very fun, and we have really catchy songs and movement, and that kind of represents the attractiveness of some of the things like the plastic industry, the oil industry, which can often seem attractive even though it harms humanity and harms our earth in such a major way.
Okay, so we got the swallowworts. All right, now, what else do we have in this production?
We have Canandra. Canandra is a human survivor of the world that we are eventually destined to suffer from. She was banished to the Rocky Atoll, and she is coming from a place to send the message of hope to the future generation and kind of warn them of what has happened. And she's in sync with the monarch butterflies, who represent kind of that journey of starting over and birthing a new future that we can have and sustain as long as we change the patterns that we've been doing. And then she has her partner, Vardo, her musical partner. I'll let Vardo take it away.
Yeah, Vardo, I think he represents many things in the sense of the cultural, the diversity of the world. Aside of the five languages that are spoken in our play, there's also the other kind of language, that is the musical language and corporal language, the movement language. It's always there. All these people really, really from the old times are here. And it's through the time connecting different worlds, connecting different realities, connecting even different technologies. This old technology to make an instrument that can give us different things in contraposition with the technology that the swallowworts are giving us. So in a way, it's something like that. This is Vardo.
Hi, I'm Joseph Comas, that's my name, and I'm the light designer and operator for the Nomadic Tempest. So we are three people on our tech booth, like the sound engineer, video, and then myself doing light. We're running most of the times 3 to 5 computers for doing this show. It's a lot of technique involved. Yeah. It's been a long process. I mean, the light design started in May when we did the production time. What I used to say to everyone is, I'm going to change it until the last show. I'm just keep updating every time and getting new ideas, speaking with Paul, with our director, speaking with performers, and yeah, trying things out. And it's like, this show is alive, and it's going to be alive until the last show.
Everything about this thing is alive. I mean, you know, when you stop to think about it, you're floating on water, you're dealing with weather, you're, you know, designing light according to when the sun goes down and all the rest of it. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, one of the most surprising things for me, I mean, I've been doing this job for 18 years, but never on a ship. I never thought that the tie would affect my light. It's right. It's something I never thought about. And then the first, starting with the design, I was like, yeah, I'm going to put these lights on shore and focus there. And every day the tie changed. So there's no way I can do this. And I had to find new systems and change all my ideas and all what I was trying to do with in this concept and make it some, in another way. Basically, what I realize is that mainly this show is happening on shore and on the ship. I have to keep the lights like divided. So it's like two different setups. I have the shore lights and the ship lights. Because if I have lights on the shore, focus on something on the ship, it's every day is going to be different.
Your background in lighting design, how far back does that go?
So I started back in Spain as a summer job, doing some concerts and music, and then the weekend, so I could be in college, study, and have some money. After I finished college, I decided that, I wanted to be a light designer, so I went to study an apprenticeship as light for life performances. Ever since then, I've been moving, and I went to Australia, I went to the last 5 years I've been living in Germany, in Berlin. Everywhere I find theater people and work on a theater, it makes me happy.
Where did you grow up in Spain?
I grew up in a village close to Barcelona.
And then did you go to school in Barcelona?
I went to school in Barcelona and I studied computer science. I was a computer programmer and then I decided, no, I just want to be more involved in arts and life performance. So I went back and I studied because I had the experience already. I've been working as a light technician, but I wanted to be a light designer. I wanted to do good my job, so I decided to study that. And of course, the background I had with computer science was just prison, you know?
Yeah.
It just, everything goes together nowadays.
Painting with light. I could stay here all night talking to people, but I can't. But
and it would be nice to have you all night here. That's well. We always have dinner for guests here.
I'm Miranda. I've been the tour coordinator with the caravan since May. I'm originally from Bainbridge Island, so I met with them actually in April a few times while we were interviewing folks in Seattle. And what I do varies from day to day. I'm also the box office manager, the administrative assistant. I help with the zip line, help cook when I have time available to help them in the kitchen. It really varies from day to day.
Do you do most of your coordinating on shipboard, or are you traveling ahead of the show at times? How does that all work?
That's a good question. So we are sitting in the chart house, but the chart house also doubles as the office. So I'm usually sitting here or on top of the chart house, depending on where I can best find Wi-Fi, coordinating aboard the ship.
And how does that happen when you're in areas where you can't get a signal? What does that do to your plans?
I will be the first to strike out in the morning to go find a coffee shop or a place that has Wi-Fi set up and get a cup of coffee and get to work. And honestly, we spend so much time together on the ship because of the spotty Wi-Fi and, inability to charge devices depending on where our electrical needs are needed. So it's been a really amazing summer.
And what's been your experience prior to joining up with this outfit?
I have worked in theater previously, mainly with Bainbridge Performing Arts on Bainbridge Island, which is where my folks live.
How did you find out about the caravan?
I, for the first time, actually checked with TPS, Theater Puget Sound. I just glanced over it one day out of curiosity to see what was out there, and they had a audition call for Conandra. But I had never heard of the company, so I investigated the company and realized that I wanted to work for them no matter what. So I sent them a letter, and then they interviewed me, and they welcomed me aboard.
You'll be doing some of the tasks that all of the crew do on the ship as it's underway, like standing watch?
Yes. I'll be in the chart house doing navigation, steering occasionally. I'll be on the bow doing watch and also circulating snacks and coffee when it's cold out.
How cold does it get sometimes?
Oh, man. Do you see all those coats over there? It's not unusual for people to be wearing two or three coats at once, two or three hats. And it's only getting colder now in September.
So those are physical hats, but they also wear the figurative hats as well.
Yes, exactly. Everybody on board, just the minute you need help with a task, you can pretty much grab anybody, no matter what department they're in, and they'll come help you. It's really wonderful.
Seagoing experience, any prior to this?
No. I did work for Argosy Cruises one summer, and I played that up in my resume, but that was back in college a long time ago. But I'm hopeful I will just continue to further my experience in the future.
What's the biggest eye-opener that happened to you, or you experienced, let's put it that way, since you've been on board as a crew member?
That the way that this particular ship drives is not how at all how other ships drive. It's a constant tug of war, but they let us know that in advance, and I've had a lot of practice now. The Amara Z, our ship, and it just was going all over the place.
The Amara Z, heavy lift to be able to turn it on a dime, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No turning on a dime here. You've got to plan well in advance, I think.
My name is Manuel Alejandro Fregoso. I'm the engineer from the boat, and I'm from Guadalajara, Mexico. My job is like check before navigation, check the engines, and check that everything is working well, and fix the things that are not working good.
Nan was saying that you are invaluable. You have quite a background in diesel mechanics and whatever it takes in order to make the ship run.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I don't have like a lot of experience, but I have some experience learning more.
So you're a hands-on person. Have you always been that way? You've always enjoyed putting things together or finding out how they run and the rest of that?
Yes, normally I like to have like everything working well. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big smile on your face right now.
My name is Merlin Stone. I am the head rigger for the tour, and I am from Ireland. I am from Dublin. I've lived there my whole life. A week before I came here, I'd never heard of the company or the ship or the show. A chance connection of people through word of mouth led to me getting a phone call one morning as I was eating breakfast, and someone asked me if I was interested in this thing, a tour on a tall ship. They knew I was interested in rigging, they knew I was interested in circus rigging particularly, and asked if I wanted to do it. But it was a 5-month tour and I had to leave in 1 week. It was the only stipulation.
And you did.
And I did, yeah. I talked to Paul and Nance and I read up a bit about the ship and what I'd be doing, and it seemed like an opportunity too good to pass up. For about 7 or 8 years, I've been involved in the local circus community in Dublin, involved in building 2 training spaces, the second of which was much larger and involved aerial training as well. That was my kind of hobby interest in rigging, but professionally I was also working as an event rigger for concerts and things like that. We're, in a strange way, part of the performers of this show, even though we're not visible the entire time. Any of the rigging that I've done previously has tended only to be set up and takedown, which involves ensuring that everything is in place and everyone is safe and everything is set as it needs to be. But beyond that, in this show, there is a lot of very active rigging that needs to be done because there are many different transitions and movements involved with the zip lines, with the different aerial apparatus that we use, as well as setting up and ensuring the safety of everything. There's a lot of very physical work to do during the show, a lot of cues to meet just as the other performers do. So it's nice to be backstage, but still like an intrinsic part of the performance.
It's always good to move on, to get to the next town, to keep moving. And I think that's why we've lasted as long as we have.
From below the deck on the Amara Z, this is Chris Bricker for KPTZ Community Radio News.
This week's Compass was written and produced by Chris Bricker. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, this is Compass Executive Producer Steve Evans.